You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Well, that's an interesting start song, but I don't hate it.
You can blame Cam from the promotions department for that song being stuck in my head. One,
I love it.
It is one of the catchiest choruses that I've heard in the last 10 years.
It is very catchy.
And two, he played it at the picnic today. And any time that I hear just a snippet of a catchy chorus, it is stuck in my head for the next 48 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to be singing for the next 48 hours.
Nothing wrong with that.
I'm going to keep on.
So we're doing a little bit of a World Cup roundup. World Cup roundup. Oh, my gosh, we should have that sponsor that rhymes. Right now, Canada is playing Sui.
Try again.
Swiss.
Okay, the Swiss and the Canadians.
And the Swiss are from
Switzerland.
There we go.
And then
little lady.
Big ol' above the fold story today in the Kansas City Star that ticket prices are surging just on the off chance.
Well, it's a little bit less off.
That Argentina ends up facing
Portugal
in Kansas City, which we do have. Thank you, listener from Belton. His name was Carson, wasn't it?
Carter.
Thank you. He sent us this very handy bracket for the studio in here. And Sam and I, right before the show, we were trying to find Portugal on one side and we were trying to find Argentina on the other. Dan, explain what would have to happen for that earth-shattering event to
math.
End up here.
Math. And this team has to do this, and this team has to do that.
Yes.
There's a possibility it could happen.
To simplify it, Dan, now that we are exiting group play, we're entering the actual bracket. The two teams would have to win the next three games to meet in the quarterfinal in Kansas City.
Two teams would have to win the next three games.
So a total of six wins.
But you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah, there's a chance.
You're absolutely right. And we would then have Messi and Ronaldo playing against each other.
Unbelievable.
At Arrowhead in Kansas City.
And it would be, correct me if I'm wrong, like $20,000 a ticket at that point, would it not be?
It would go up.
It would be very, very expensive.
Well, it'll be the top match on the planet.
Ever, right? Did you guys see we had a former Shawnee Mission Northwest kiddo selected by the Clippers in the NBA draft last night?
Yeah, NBA
local
draft.
Kiddo Keaton Wagler went from a standout at Shawnee Mission Northwest to a top five NBA draft pick in just 1 year, selected by the LA Clippers with the fifth overall pick last night after a record-setting freshman season at Illinois.
We also had a student, an alum of Liberty, I believe, Liberty High School.
I saw that too.
Bennett Sturts.
Went from D2 up to playing for Iowa, and now he has been drafted as well.
He was Kansas Class 6A Player of the Year, by the way, in both his junior and senior seasons. He is from Shawnee. And so I am not a huge NBA person, but when my sons are watching it, they will always point out, because I always root for the local kids, hey, mom, that's so-and-so, or you remember so-and-so, or he's a Kansas City kid, because it does make something that is not interesting to me at all interesting.
And, of course, everybody that is a fan of KU was frustrated with one Darren Peterson for the entire last season because we were all convinced that he was faking injuries.
Yep.
He did not go number one in the draft, as it was predicted, but he did go number two.
That's right. Number one went to Utah, correct? Or was that a Utah kid that went number one?
That's a great question.
I think it was Utah. Anyway, I've got a good friend that was watching that last night, and they were screaming for him to be number one. So quick update from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department here in the last 10 minutes or so, right before we came on the air. You remember there was this huge gaffe yesterday with some ding-a-ling at the federal level saying, well, we think we caught that guy that killed all those people and started shooting up people on I-70, and that turned out to be completely false. So the suspect is not only still on the run, but moments ago from the Kansas City Police Department, please see the photos shared in the last update And remember, this man is to be considered armed and dangerous. So listen to this. We're going to post this on social. If you have seen this man's mugshot, Oscar Sanchez Munoz, he now looks nothing like he did in the prior mugshots they've released, in his driver's license photo. He went in, just strolled in to a gas station on the morning of June 16th at 39th and Broadway, and has definitely altered just about everything about his appearance.
Oh, and yeah, there he is.
Did you see him?
I'm looking at it now,
The only way I can describe this, should I say what I said out in the newsroom, Sam, or do you think that's offensive?
It's probably a little offensive.
He's trying to look like Justin Bieber, and I will leave it at that.
Is this the Gomers there at 39th and Broadway?
Well, it says a business at 39th and Broadway. It is very clearly a convenience store. You've got the vapes up front.
I was going to say, it almost looks like a smoke shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks maybe more like Gomers.
Okay.
Anyway.
39th and Broadway, we're going to put all of that over social because they are still looking for him.
Now, that was 8 days ago, yeah, though. Why are we hearing about this now?
Well, because I think they start investigating, they start backtracing, they start looking, where was this guy? He is seen on camera using a credit card, and they probably traced it back and then said, look, we need you to pull your surveillance, and they did.
They're also looking at Mount Washington Cemetery, located near his home in Independence, on his potential whereabouts.
He's got, like, a very bad bleach blonde dyed job.
Yeah,
right now. So we'll put all of that on social.
It appears his eyebrow grew back.
Maybe he's filled in his eyebrow. I don't know if we will have time. And then did you guys see this terrible case out of Kansas City? We have a 93-year-old homicide victim today. We're not going to make this a topic, but I do need to pass this along to you. So not exactly sure what happened that they've arrested this young woman, but a young woman has been charged after a 93-year-old woman was found dead inside of her Northland home. The Clay County Prosecutor's Office announced charges against the woman. I think she's being held on a $1 million bond this morning.
Whoa!
They announced that Kalisha Reeves, oh, it's awful, has been charged with first-degree murder in connection to the death of Diana Barco, who was found dead inside of her home on Briarcliff Road in Kansas City. According to a news release, officers got there about 11:30 in the morning last Tuesday and found this elderly woman with what appeared to be trauma. They are now saying, they don't know how, that between June 8th and June 9th, this woman somehow got into this 93-year-old woman's home. And we won't even get in. We'll just say it was a very, very violent death. And the woman is trying to say that this 93-year-old invited her to sleep on her front porch because she was down on her luck.
Already suspect.
Yeah. And then, am I to assume correctly in the Northland, if this is on Briarcliff Road, this is somewhere near Briarcliff?
I would be willing to guess, yeah. Probably not a low-income neighborhood, we'll put it that way.
That was my first thought, yeah. Sam, that this is not going to be a low-income neighborhood. She tried to tell detectives after they caught up with her using the woman's credit card that the 93-year-old had wanted me to stay on her porch, and then she gave me her credit card, Sam.
Okay.
There are details in that. It is just absolutely awful. She is 25-year-old Kalisha Reeves, charged with first-degree murder in Clay County with, yes, a judge setting her bond at $1 million. They allege that the defendant knowingly, after deliberation, caused the death of that woman by acts of homicidal violence between June 8th and June 9th. And it's so sad, a caregiver went to go check on her and found the scene in the bathroom. She was actually left in the shower. It is absolutely awful. She is due to appear in court 11 a.m. tomorrow for arraignment, and we will keep our eye on that story for you. 913-586-7798. When we get back on Dana and Parks, have you heard of menopause? We all know what menopause is. What is menopause? And by age 50, should we all be having those conversations openly? with the men in our lives? We'll talk about it straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. You've heard of menopause. We all know what that is. What is menopause? Is that a thing? Experts say it is, and it can affect your mood, sleep, energy, weight, and sexual function, though symptoms vary from man to man. The conversation around men's midlife hormonal changes has been considerably quieter over the years, which is probably why the word menopause, they write, still catches people off guard. One of the reasons is testosterone doesn't just fall off a cliff the way that estrogen does during menopause, according to fertility specialist Dr. Hazem Alazini. Men experience a gradual testosterone decline starting around age 30. By 50, levels can be significantly lower than they were in a man's youth, though the process, again, varies widely. Here are the five signs it might be happening to you.
Dan, you ready?
Sign number one. The grumpiness isn't just a personality shift. Testosterone plays a role in mood and motivation, so when it drops, some men find themselves running lower on both. Really noticeable symptoms usually get really, really bad around age 70, but again, this can happen as early as 50. Can be associated with loss of motivation, reduced vitality, decreased physical performance, and increased abdominal fat. The grumpy old man stereotype, it seems, has a hormonal basis.
Getting the beer gut.
I would have to ask my dad if he felt like he experienced that.
There's a lot of things that go into this. I mean, concentration, lack of motivation, lack of muscle mass.
Yeah.
Even if you're working out, even if you're going to the gym, these things will happen. You start to get a little bit more belly fat around the belly.
You know where I've noticed it?
And you're tired.
Yeah. Dan, in some men, in their physical appearance as they age, and I just mean men all around us. It could be someone on television. I don't mean men in my life at all. Mm-hmm. I notice it, it seems, in men more than women, in the shoulders. When you actually, when a man starts to age, like starts, even if they're in the best shape, I notice it in like the shoulders and clavicle area and the chest area.
Things where, start to droop a little bit more.
Just a little bit, or they're maybe a little bit bonier.
Right.
Maybe that's where you lose some muscle first. I don't know.
That's where the loss of muscle mass comes in. It's not just this or that. It's just this decreasing over time. And it just, you're like, oh. Wow.
Look at that.
Huh. That's a thing.
Number two, sleep gets worse. Lower hormone levels can be associated with sleep disruptions, so that men, just like women, you used to be able to maybe drop and take a nap anywhere, anytime, under any circumstance. It gets harder to sleep.
Well, look at that. It's 4:30 a.m. I'm up.
Time to go to First Cafeteria at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then a nice nap. Number three, the fatigue feels different. Aging men usually notice their energy isn't what it once was, and low testosterone can contribute to that. It can also be a whole lot of other things. Number four. Oh, I'm not going to read that one. Number four is funny.
Nope. Number four.
Just going to gloss right over number four.
This is an educational show.
We can just reiterate that certain things are sagging and not as perky.
Yes, we are going to just go with that, Sam, specifically in the mornings. That's number four.
You no longer have that perkiness when you wake up. Yeah.
Number five, weight redistribution. Remember everyone making fun of Leonardo DiCaprio's dad bod? Mm-hmm. Low testosterone can lead to fat accumulation around the abdomen and reduce muscle mass. We all know that guy that is still pretty muscular, like in their 60s or 70s, and still very lean. Lean limbs, lean chest, lean legs, and then you have the pregnancy belly.
Mm-hmm.
And the final. In many cases, weight loss, resistance training, improved sleep, and management of underlying health conditions can significantly improve all of those symptoms. Yep. If that is you, men, make a doctor appointment and get your stuff taken care of.
The actual doctor.
Yes.
The idea that women had the market cornered in hormonal changes as you reach the later stages of life is almost laughable to me. And the idea that there's nothing that we can do about it is almost equally as laughable.
Yeah.
It happens. Well, yes, it's going to happen. And you can get ahead of it. Dan was talking about muscle mass. The same thing goes with libido. There are certain ways where the prevalence of those activities, whether it's working out or practicing your libido, where you can actually stave off some of those negative impacts of your lowering testosterone because you're naturally boosting your testosterone through those activities. The same can be done for women. Women who work out more and who do that more as they reach their later years tend to find the same results where their menopause can be delayed. Maybe the hot flashes and things like that aren't as severe because of those activities.
Why does Sam talking about hot flashes make me very uncomfortable?
it's just biology.
Oh, it's biology. Let me tell you which man in America is not having these issues at all. An 85-year-old Florida man has been arrested for hitting 110 miles an hour in a street race against a Corvette. What? Have you seen his face, Dan? Oh, my God. An 85-year-old cigar-smoking Florida man is accused of street racing and hitting over 100 miles an hour before he was pulled over and told police he was only out enjoying a late-night drive in his, quote, favorite car. It was 11:30 at night last Wednesday when an officer from the Lake County Sheriff's Office clocked William Bosworth's Nissan 350Z convertible racing a red Chevy Corvette in a 45-mile-an-hour zone.
I mean, if you're going to go out.
Body camera footage shows the officer approaching Bosworth's car after he was pulled over, demanding he turn off his car. Bosworth calmly looks over at the officer. He is smoking a cigarillo.
And he said, "You show me some respect, whippersnapper."
Bosworth tells the officer that the other driver swerved at him and he was only driving that fast to get away from him. Quoting here from the officer, "Listen, Mr. Bosworth, I wasn't born last night. I know what street racing looks like when I see it. You guys were street racing."
What happened to the other car?
He won the race, Dan. Bosworth remained adamant to the officer he wasn't street racing. "I wasn't intending to cause any problems. Was not street racing." The officer replied, "Okay, well, you might not call it street racing. You might call it highway racing, road racing, whatever. You were doing it, and we don't condone that here in Lake County."
Yeah, now, buck 10 and 45. Here's
my question. Do you think they went easy on him? Because Florida has one of those super speeder laws.
Yes.
Do you think they went easy on him because he was 85 years old?
Yes, absolutely. I think age plays a role in many of these cases. We talked about it with Bonnie Gooch.
Well, she was robbing banks, Sam.
Well, yeah.
I think that this is reverse ageism. I think the officer was, you know, sort of, I don't want to say he was amused, but
if it was a 22-year-old that was going a buck 10 and
you'd
a 45, they'd be in handcuffs
immediately.
You would
be in handcuffs.
Yeah, the officer's just taking an out on the guy that he caught.
Under Florida super speeder law, by the way, if you are caught going 50 miles an hour or over the posted speed limit or topping 100 miles an hour, regardless of the limit, you can be arrested and it is a criminal offense. I do not think Mr. Bosworth was taken into custody.
I think he probably went to Furr's cafeteria the next day and said, "Guys, you are not going to believe this story." And they didn't believe him.
I have a feeling he doesn't dine at Furr's cafeteria.
You don't think so?
Smoking a cigar in your convertible.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of that down in Florida.
You're going to Furr's or Golden Corral. Oh, yeah.
Pick up some of those young 60-year-old women.
There you go.
1-3-5-8-6-7-7-9-8.
Walking in there like a stud.
That silver fox is mine. You're listening to Dan and Park. Stick with us. Do we have the lyrical gangster on the hotline?
Yeah, we do. The hot stepper.
I cannot believe the last time we had KNBC9's chief meteorologist Brian Busby on, he said, why did you play that other song? You know my walk-up song is The Lyrical Gangster. And I was like, what? It's still one of my favorite fun facts about you, Brian, that I didn't know until a couple weeks ago. But I think it fits. Welcome on in. What's going on?
Not much. You guys hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you. Do you hear The Lyrical Gangster okay?
I did. Thank you, Sam. But, you know, like Sam talked about at the beginning of the show, just an earworm. That song was an earworm to me when I first heard it. And I said, okay, I kind of like that. Same thing.
We'll get to that in a minute.
That na-na-na is very catchy.
That na-na-na, comes around again here in a minute if you just sit tight. Really quick, what is going on today, if anything? And then we want to talk about the weather tomorrow because we have bajillions of people in town to watch the World Cup. We've got the Fan Fest going on, and tomorrow looks a little rumbly, if you will.
It does look rumbly. First off, not much today because we still got to saturate the atmosphere. We see some clouds, but from top to bottom, it's all the way down. So it's a little more humid where we are, but the whole column is not filled in. So we have the clouds up top. We're a little more sticky where we are, but we don't have the connection in between. Therefore, clouds, yes, no rain. That may change later on tonight, like after midnight or so.
Yeah.
And some of the models are saying it should be done by the time the Orange March starts, which would be good.
Yeah.
And then another model I've been looking at puts the better chances for the rain and thunderstorms, like we've been saying, probably maybe before the match ends, but that would be toward the second half. So I think the game will start, but I don't guarantee that it'll be totally dry all the way through. And, you know, the other thing is I'm not sure what the perimeter is as far as lightning is concerned. Is it the 5-mile radius? Is it a 10-mile radius around? I don't know that. FIFA's a little different. So that would be one thing to take into account. Obviously, they're going to try to get the match in as much as possible, even if it's a delay of hours. But that's just something I just don't know the specifics on when they would call it or when they would clear the pitch.
And Sam, is it true that they've moved the Fan Fest back an hour? They moved something back an hour to try to get it in before the weather gets here.
They actually moved up the march an hour to start at, I think, at 9:30 instead of 10:30 out of fears of the afternoon rain. But I'm not certain on that.
Okay. Well, Brian, thank you. First thing this morning, I was like, okay, is it going to rain today? Is it going to rain tomorrow? I said, we got to get Brian on and figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, and some of the rain will be heavy. So once it starts like Thursday night, some areas could pick up another 2.5-3 inches of rain.
We don't need
it. I mean, we are out of the drought. I mean, most people are. Some people, I mean, there's some exceptions, but most folks are saying enough is enough.
And Brian, what are we looking at for lightning? I mean, we know that they're going to play soccer through the rain, but if lightning is anywhere near the area, they're going to be clearing out Fan Fest. They're going to be clearing out the game. Are we looking at a lot of lightning, or how do we know?
Well, we don't know that, but, you know, what makes a thunderstorm is lightning, so I just don't know how frequent it'll be. But, it looks like not just rain, but there will be some lightning embedded within those big areas of rain.
Okay.
Thank you so much, my friend. Be safe, and we'll be tuning in.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later. And tell Scott, love him.
We'll absolutely do it, my friend.
Appreciate it.
He's the lyrical gangster. Na 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 na. It's terrible.
And the World Cup takes lightning very seriously. I believe it was a World Cup match where all 11 players on a team died at the same time.
No.
I'm double checking that right now.
Oh, that is awful.
It was a long time ago, and it was due to lightning.
Well, FIFA's in charge of everything, and so if they say it's 5 miles or 10 miles, we're calling it, they're calling it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And they're going to take the utmost caution. It was the same thing. I mean, that trickled down when that happens on the world soccer stage.
Oh, God, that is terrible.
That trickles down to everybody else. And they took it very seriously when I was playing soccer growing up. You know, the kids, we would all be like, well, no, let's play. We don't see any lightning. And they're like, it's 7 miles that way. So they're going to keep everybody safe. I was wondering, though, if you're down at the Fan Fest,
Yeah.
And, you know, most people are getting to the Fan Fest by parking somewhere a good distance away, taking the streetcar in, maybe an Uber, something like that. And they funnel everybody out of the Fan Fest because there's lightning in the area.
Where do you go?
Where do you go? You're not going to be struck by lightning in here, but now you're going to be struck by lightning
well,
out there.
Well, they've got to have a plan for that. They have to have a severe weather plan, Sam.
Just I don't know what it is. Everybody into Crown Center?
You know why I don't know what it is? I don't have the bajillions of dollars like to go see one of those games.
Yeah.
But if just be weather aware.
Yeah.
You can take your phone in there, download the weather app.
Keep an eye on it.
Keep an eye on it.
I was really wanting to go tomorrow night, but with the weather, I don't think I'll be there.
Okay,
not to the game, to the Fan Fest.
I'm now getting to one of my favorite stories of all time.
Wait, real
time.
Quick, from
yes.
the text line, Brian's new name is Atmospherical Gangster. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm writing that down. Yeah. Yeah, he's that.
That March, thank you, Dan Weinbaum, replying to somebody on the text line. They're gathering at P&L at 9:30, marching down Grand starting at 11:15.
Lots of orange in that march.
Yep.
Okay, speaking of marching, walking, this story made me laugh out loud, but there is a scientific basis behind it, and we want you to weigh in on this. 913-586-7798. In our family, it is a big pet peeve if you are trying to find a parking spot and someone is walking to their car, not in a 45-degree angle, Sam, but in the diagonal. That is like one of the biggest pet peeves if you are just roaming diagonally.
Effectively walking straight down
yes,
the middle of the aisle where the cars are supposed to be driving.
Through any parking lot. You guys have all seen it. And most people, I think it's worse now that we have cell phones. Most people are doing that while they are buried in their cell phone.
Oh, yeah.
How they don't get struck by a car, I don't know. I'm a very big proponent in busy parking lots or otherwise. You have to walk straight, cut over at a perfect angle, right?
I agree, yeah.
Listen to this headline from the New York Times. Nearly everyone, everywhere, veers left when they are walking. Researchers are at a loss for why people across cultures and ages, regardless of your dominant hand, have a natural bias toward wandering in a counterclockwise direction.
Really?
Oh my gosh, you guys, it is fascinating.
I wonder if that has something to do with why we turn left in NASCAR and turn left in track and field.
I don't know, because I would think our natural flow would be to go right. Applied physicist at the University of Navarra in Spain was studying whether people maintain a certain distance between one another while walking. That was what he was studying.
Okay.
When he noticed something strange across some 40 different experiments, as he was trying to figure out the distance people will walk and keep between each other. Doesn't matter, like if you're at the park, if you're at the grocery store, what is the average distance you keep from another human being that you do not know when you're walking? That's what he was studying.
Right.
When across 40 experiments, most of his participants spontaneously veered to the left.
Huh.
Although the observation had nothing to do with his original research, it piqued his curiosity. It was the first signal that something truly weird was happening. He and his colleagues assumed there must be some straightforward explanation, perhaps the layout of the room was subtly directing people to list to the left. So they began what they thought would be a simple investigation to find the answer. 5 years later, yes, they have been studying this for 5 years.
Oh, I've got some theories.
The doctor and his colleagues have exhausted most of their hypotheses and are no closer to solving the mystery. But what they found, as reported today in the journal Nature Communications, is striking. We all have an innate tendency across demographics, cultures, and conditions to veer in a counterclockwise direction. And in principle, there is absolutely no reason for it. Yet it is clear we all do it. So why?
A couple of theories from the text line. It's because the Earth spins counterclockwise, obviously. Also from the text line, I've always wondered why roundabouts go left and not right. And I'm not sure why I do it, but when I talk on the phone with somebody, I tend to roam around the house. And now that I think about it, turning left. I have some theories, and I'm sure that they've looked into all these things and debunked all of these things. If you are right side dominant, which most people are, left side dominant is far more rare than right side dominant. Naturally, you're going to push off a little more aggressively with your right side than your left. Another thing that could play into that is that most people have one leg that is shorter than the other. That has nothing to do with the length of the bones. It's more so about the fact that when we are resting, most people do not rest equally on both legs. They rest on one leg more than the other.
Right, and over time, like tiny, tiny, tiny difference.
And there is some study, there are a few studies out there who have drawn a correlation to if you are right side dominant, you tend to rest on your left leg. If you're left side dominant, you tend to rest on your right leg. That creates a pelvic tilt towards the side that you stand on, right? And so if you rest, if you're right side dominant and you rest on your left leg, now your left leg's a little bit shorter than your right leg, plus you're getting the added addition of being right side dominant and pushing more
so we
off
wander
of your
left.
Right leg, and that would cause you to wander left.
Sam, I don't think so, and here's why. They've been studying this for 5 years. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying they don't know. They encountered one study showing that when any of us encounter a wall, like let's say we are walking, and then we come up against a wall, those of us who are right-handed tend to turn left, while those who are left-handed tend to turn right. And the doctor said the moment we saw that, we said, okay, that's what this is. So to check that, they ran their own trial. They separated participants according to whether they turned left or right when directed to approach a wall. They then asked them to walk around a small arena. To the researcher's surprise, regardless of your wall turning preference or your handedness, most of the participants still chose to roam left.
I'm sticking with my pelvic tilt theory. Mm-hmm. I need to send them a note. Maybe I could crack their five-year case right here, right now.
You could get like cited in some very boring journal that no one reads except super smart scientific minds. Let's
go to
the
Journal of Walking.
Gary in North Kansas City. Hi, Gary. Go ahead.
Hi. Okay. I have a theory, and I think what it is, it actually was societal and became instinct. But if you think about it, roughly 90% of people are right-handed. We shake hands with our right hand.
Yeah.
If we were carrying weapons such as swords, what side would we carry them on?
I don't know, Gary. The do you carry a sword? do we need to call
on
police?
not really. But even though I actually am left-handed. But here's the thing. If in a society where people are commonly armed and you had to worry about whether someone was friend or foe, you would tend to veer to the left of them so that your right side would be closer to them if you needed to draw your weapon to defend yourself. Mm. Also, you would be able to watch their right hand more to see if they were going for a weapon.
Gary, that's actually a fascinating theory.
I agree with everything Gary said except for the location of the sword. While typically our firearm would be on the right side if we're right hand dominant.
Is the sword on the left? It's been a while since I've been to Renfest. I'm sorry, I don't.
The more common draw for a sword is the crossbody draw because of the weight of the sword.
One last thing. The baffling finding prompted them to undertake 5 additional experiments, each targeting a different hypothesis. 573 participants. Again and again, they found the same result. Everyone veers left. In an open schoolyard, they instructed hundreds of people to roam at will. Just roam. While a drone recorded their movements. Within seconds, Sam, 80% of the people were moving in a counterclockwise direction. Quoting here from one of the authors of this study, it is not a gradual drift. It is a bias within us that emerges almost immediately. And they have a photo of the drone overhead. The schoolyard is just concrete, and it looks like ants. The drone is way, 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 way up high. And sure enough, after a while, everyone settles into this insane pattern moving left. I think we're aliens. What do you think it is? You can text us.
Oh, we're definitely aliens.
913-586-7798. We'll post the study on the socials as well. Are you a left veering Wanderer? Why? Back to answer that question straight ahead. One of the most fun things about this article in the New York Times is that they go through all of the exhaustive experiments they did trying to come up with an answer. Listen to this. Were there cultural factors behind all of us wandering left? Pedestrians, for example, we typically walk on the same side as cars drive on in whatever country you're in. So think about it. If you're walking downtown on the sidewalk, we're typically walking on the right side of the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Just like here, the cars drive on the right side of the road.
Which apparently people cannot figure out in the grocery store. Correct. Stay on the right side of the aisle,
correct.
People.
Pedestrians also typically move in that direction if they encounter an obstacle. So the team ran experiments in Japan where pedestrian lanes form on the left.
Oh.
Despite being convinced they would see the opposite pattern, the researchers yet again observed participants listing to the left, ruling cultural norms off the list.
I'm telling you, they need to take a kinesiology approach to it.
Let's go to Thomas in Zona Rosa. Hey, Thomas.
Hi. In ballroom dancing, the lead dancer conventionally moves counterclockwise around the room.
I wonder where that started. Or is it just that we are naturally programmed for some reason to move in that direction?
It might be with the explain some women drivers, I guess.
Women.
Wow.
Thomas. Wow.
Taking shots.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if you think about it, pretty much everything we do involves going to the left. So it could
just
be societal in a sense in general. Ice skating, you go left.
Roller skating is
you go left.
But why?
Decided that a long time ago. I don't know.
If you picture, truly, 300 ants on your countertop.
Yeah.
Okay? All just moving around your countertop.
Something like that.
That's what the video of all of these people looks like when they start out. The researchers just said, just start roaming. Okay?
Huh.
And so all these little dots, they are all wearing red, by the way. Everyone is wearing red. All of these little dots are moving. And then within a few seconds, you see it. Everyone starts sort of
moving left.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And speaking, don't you dare say the women are the bad drivers.
Maybe we're just following our heart.
I have seen the worst behavior in our riders and drivers the last 48 hours. We were on Shawnee Mission Parkway last night.
Yeah.
A man on a bicycle ran a red light.
Oh, yeah.
During normal traffic flow going east and west. He just, coming from north to south, just rode his bicycle right into traffic, like as if to say, I don't care, you're going to wait for me. And a woman honked at him. The uh-huh. woman that was next to us in traffic honked at him. As he continued on Neiman Road, he pedaled without holding on to the handlebars and raised both middle fingers at the woman.
Yeah.
And he ran the light.
Ooh, wait, sorry. From the text line, did they conduct this study at all in the Southern Hemisphere?
I was just about to ask that.
I wonder if they go right.
No way. Let me look. I don't know.
Because naturally, toilet water flushes to the left in the Northern Hemisphere and to the right in the Southern Hemisphere. That is not the toilet making that happen.
Don't
that is
you
gravitational
think these
pull.
People would have thought about that? They tested every hypothesis imaginable.
Well, they haven't found the answer yet, so they're not testing enough.
We're going to post this story on, I'll do it on the Dana Wright KMBZ page, because you have to see the video from up ahead of the little red dots of all the people that just end up going in a left circle. It's hilarious.
But you're talking about bicyclists. I was at a stop sign last night in Prairie Village. And there was a cyclist coming at me, and it was my turn to go and turn left. And if I'm being honest, I said under my breath, you going to stop or are we going to play?
Oh, wow.
He stopped, and then I went.
Okay, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
We don't need you to be in a headline.
No, oh, no. I mean, why wouldn't it hit him?
Mm-hmm. 913-586-7798. When we get back, how many times a day do you hear debit or credit? Debit or credit? You ever really thought about what that means and the five places they are now saying you should never choose one of those options. That's straight ahead on Dana and Parks. News with Dan Weinbaum is next.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.